Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. To maintain a clear conscience, we need to be vigilant, lest any works of darkness find their way into our lives. That's what Paul told the Ephesian believers as he taught them to walk as children of light. Today, more thoughts on our consciences. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on the power of a clear conscience. We're nearing the end of our 10th message, this one on keeping your conscience clear. Turn again to Ephesians chapter 5.
So there are really two ways in which we can be like God. One is we walk in love, the other we walk in light. Now what the Apostle Paul does is he talks about their conversion, and I want you to look at the text. He says in verse 7, "Therefore do not associate with them," that is people like that, "for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." It's interesting that in the book of Isaiah, the Bible says the people, they walked in darkness. By the time you get to the time of Christ, in Matthew chapter 4, it's quoted as saying the people, they sit in darkness. And here in this passage, you find that the people are darkness. They are darkness. Darkness personified. And so what he says is that the Lord has given you light. Now you are light. They are darkness. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And we have this elsewhere, of course, in the words of Jesus and other parts of the scripture. And notice, "For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret." And when anything is exposed to the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, "Awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ's light will shine on you." What he's saying is that the works of darkness are unfruitful. Why? Because no fruit grows in the dark. The other day, some friends sent us a pot, it's like a tree that's going to become a flower. And one of the things it says is, "You have to put me in the sunlight." It's going to grow inside, but it has to be next to a window. Now, the unfruitful works of darkness, there is really no fruit in darkness, no fruit that God accepts or takes delight in. But rather, when we walk in the light, now our works can be pleasing to God, and in this pleasing to God, there is fruit in which he takes delight. So the Apostle Paul is talking about the transformation. If you're here and you've never received Christ as Savior, the Bible says that God has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, into the kingdom of light. That's what happens at conversion. And if you're just walking in darkness, you may never have been converted by God. It's a great miracle when you receive Christ as Savior. And then he quotes and he says, "Arise, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you." Every time I read that verse, I'm reminded of the time that Rebecca and I were at Ravinia. You know, in Ravinia, you can go there and you can hear this beautiful music. They have orchestras. And you can buy a ticket and go into the band shell there and you can enjoy it. Or you can take a blanket on a beautiful summer day and eat a sandwich and then just lie outside looking at the stars, listening to the beautiful music. And that's what we were doing one time. And a man next to me put down his blanket and instantly fell asleep, and he began to snore. I mean, he began to snore in such a way that we wanted to actually get up and go somewhere else, but we're kind of embarrassed there are all these other people around, and we figured, well, thankfully, at some point, this is going to be over. And And it was, and you know, I think it was Mendelssohn or Strauss, some of those great composers. And when it was over, everyone stood to give a standing ovation. We all stood and began to clap. He awoke, he stood up, and he began to clap along with everybody else, giving the impression that he'd been with us the whole time. And that's the way it is going to be in the Day of Judgment, I'm convinced. When Jesus asks us to stand before him, there are going to be people who've been asleep their whole lives, but they're going to want to say, oh, yeah, yeah, I was a part of it. Yeah, 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 I was one of them. The text says, arise, O sleeper, arise from the dead. You may say, well, how does this relate to keeping your conscience pure? I'm going to help you with that in just a moment. There is a connection. You see, it is these kinds of sins that we've been talking about. It is walking in darkness that pollutes the conscience. Because when you think of a clear conscience, what you need to think of is purity. You need to think of having been forgiven and cleansed by God and living in fellowship within that cleansing. That's the way you keep your conscience clear. And here clearly are sins, and there are many others, of course, that defile the conscience. Now, there's a third way maybe the Apostle Paul would want us to say that we can be like God. And he says then in verse 15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making best use of the time. You know, I like the King James Version at this point because the Greek word is redeem. So it's really redeeming the time. And when it comes to redeeming the time, you are buying it out of the marketplace. That's why I like this imagery so much. Every day we are given 1,440 minutes. And those minutes, once they are spent, you can never have them back. You can spend them in different ways, but once they're gone, they are gone forever, and a new day starts. And what Paul is saying is that we have to redeem the time. We have to buy the time out of all of the other commitments, all of the other cluttered lives that some of us lead, all of the pressures when we come to the office and we already have our list of things to do before we get here. We have to redeem the time because the days are evil, and we have to be like God, walk in wisdom. Now, God doesn't have to worry about redeeming the time, but we do. We redeem the time. Now, what I'd like to do is to bring this down to help us in terms of clearing our conscience. What do we need to do? First of all, begin each day in the light. Begin each day in the light. Some of you have heard this. It's been a habit of mine for many years. Before I wake up, and this morning I did wake up far too early, but before I actually get out of bed, I pray. I give my day to God. I say to God, God, today glorify yourself in my life at my expense. But up front, is there any sin that I need to confess? Is there any darkness between you and me that needs to be taken care of before I roll out of bed and begin my day? For me, it begins there. And of course, I don't stay in bed all day. I thought I'd just throw that in. What we need to do is to prove the power of mind over mattress. And as a result, we need to get out of bed, but you begin there. Begin there in the light. And if you wake up and there's darkness, that's in fact the second thing that I'd like to emphasize, and that is recognize the darkness. Recognize the darkness. You're watching television and you know right well that there is darkness there that is going to defile your conscience. And so what you do is you recognize it. If you're a believer up front, God is going to help us to retrain our consciences so that we pick up on the darkness almost immediately rather than immersing ourselves in the darkness, but we recognize that it's on its way. And by God's grace, we turn from it. One of the things I don't like about the fact that I wrote down six points of obedience here is because, once again, let's not look upon this as some new technique that we have now given you by which you can take care of addictions or the darkness. ultimately, all of that is done because of Jesus. Remember this, God does not ask us to do anything that Jesus has not already done for us. Therefore, walking in the light really involves all the time looking to Jesus to be in us what we aren't. It's always a matter of faith. But nonetheless, the steps that I'm giving you today prepare our hearts for that kind of obedience and faith. So first of all, begin the day in the light. Make that as a habit. Second, learn to recognize the darkness. Somebody said, and I don't know who, that they want a conscience that is so sensitive that if a leaf were to fall on it, it would leave an imprint. Well, I don't think I'm there yet, but you know, the longer we walk with God, the more sensitive our conscience becomes. And the more we are alert to the fact that the Holy Spirit of God is grieved when we allow darkness into our lives. Next, this is very important. Confess your sins thoroughly. Confess them thoroughly, and I'm talking to Christians now. Confess them thoroughly and immediately. And immediately. Yes, my friend, you and I need to keep short accounts with God, current accounts with God. The minute God brings to our mind sin that we have committed, that is the moment of confession. If we put it off, our hearts become hard, and we could become backsliding Christians, and you don't want to do that, do you? Let me tell you that we're coming near the end, very near the end, of a series of messages entitled The Power of a Clear Conscience. And I want to emphasize that these messages were preached, as you well know, because the Apostle Paul said that he had a conscience that was free of offense before God and before others, and that's really what we want for ourselves, isn't it? Because if our conscience troubles us, we lack confidence toward God. Oftentimes we can't really walk with the Lord because there it is. It's always being brought to mind, and we can try to stuff it down, but that doesn't work very well. My suspicion is that you know somebody else who needs these messages. Maybe a wayward child who's discouraged. Maybe it could be a neighbor, a friend, someone else who is in church that you know these messages would be a tremendous blessing to them. And personally, let me say that I deeply appreciate your prayers. You know, when I have the opportunity of traveling outside of Chicago and going to various venues, the greatest blessing that I can receive is when people tell me that they are praying for me. And I can tell that there are some people who really, really mean it. Thank you so much for your prayers. And I hope that we continue to be a blessing to you right here on Running to Win.
Erwin Lutzer with more of Keeping Your Conscience Clear, the last in a 10-part series on the power of a clear conscience. Next time, we wrap up our series by learning how to detect darkness and avoid it immediately. Your support makes Running to Win possible. And to say thanks for your gift of any amount, we'd like to send you Dr. Lutzer's life-changing book, The Power of a Clear Conscience. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.